Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop. For this Monday, December 2nd, I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, practicing cosmetic surgery and minimally invasive treatments, now offering Diamond Glow Facials in Latham, New York. Dr. Lucy Chapik, NY, on Instagram. Joining us this afternoon is Dr. Alexis Perlmutter from Perlmutter Dermatology, a physician-owned private practice in Del Mar, New York. Dr. Perlmutter specializes in both pediatric and adult dermatology, as well as dermatologic surgery. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you got a skin question for the doc, you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Your skin, Dr. Perlmutter, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. In the studio this afternoon, once again, is Dr. Alexis Perlmutter, a dermatologist from Perlmutter Dermatology, a physician-owned private practice in Del Mar, New York, dedicated to offering a full spectrum of dermatologic services. This includes medical, surgical, and select cosmetic treatments tailored to individuals of every age. Dr. Perlmutter is board certified dermatologist and pediatrician. She earned an MD degree from the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry, completing a pediatrics residency at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and a dermatology residency at Geisinger Medical Center, where she completed specialized training in pediatric dermatology. Got a question about your old skin, the largest organ in your body? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Perlmutter, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ray. Thanks for having me back today.
It's awesome to have you here. My skin's getting dry. The heat goes on, my skin gets dry. What's the best way I can take care of that?
So this is a good question. A lot of people come in, and as I'm doing their skin exam, they feel a little insecure once I get down to the legs and they say, oh, my skin's so dry, I'm so embarrassed. I need to drink more water. And that's a bit of a misnomer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the skin doesn't really get hydrated by drinking more water. It's not a sign that we are dehydrated. Mm. It's more a sign that the interface between the environment and the skin is dehydrated. So really the best remedy is to add more moisture to the top of the skin. So shorter showers because hot water is hard on the skin.
No way.
Yeah. Less soap because soap is hard on the skin. And then right when you're done with those, either being wet in a shower or a bath, or just when you wake up in the morning, putting on some lotion or moisturizer helps trap in what moisture is there.
So too many. All right. I'm going to tell this to my daughters. 4 showers a day is just overboard, right?
For one individual?
Yeah.
That's a lot of showering.
Okay. Fair enough. And so when we turn our radiators on, it's terrible. My skin will literally crack.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough time of year, especially in Albany. If we all lived in Miami, it wouldn't be this way. So it's about the warmth and the humidity. You might need a prescription to fly to Albany, to Florida for the summer,
you
right?
You know what? I totally am on board with that. Okay, so here's the question, and I think I've mentioned this before. I watch quite a bit of late night television, and they have these ads on these cable channels that I watch. Ah, you old man, you got the baggy eyes. We can fix that with a jar of this and a jar of that. And it seems to me like snake oil. Is it real?
So the cosmeceuticals world, which is basically cosmetics, pseudicals implies medicine, right? So we call it cosmeceuticals because it's a little bit medicated, but it's not really regulated well. It's not FDA approved treatments. So that whole world is a lot of marketing.
And this is just vanity, right?
Yeah. And there's really not any good research demonstrating efficacy for under eye treatments. So I can't say that maybe some don't work, maybe they would, but it's not research backed.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm one with my eye bags, and I want to keep them just the way they are, and I don't want to fix them. The number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Dr. Alexis Perlmutter of Perlmutter Dermatology today. You know, are there people who come into your office? You don't want to violate HIPAA. Coming in strictly for cosmetic purposes, and you say, man, go somewhere else.
Yeah, well, it's not, you know, when it comes to cosmetics, it's, you need tools to do those treatments. So whether it be, there's so many different levels and types of peels that you can do for the face. There's microdermabrasion, there's microneedling, there's lasers, there's various light treatments. And my practice is fairly young in the grand scheme of things. I've been open for 7 months.
Wow.
And we'll probably eventually move towards some of those products, but we're still getting ourselves all set up with the basics
so
right
you're,
now.
You, when people have a real problem, they're there to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So here are a couple emails that came in, and then we'll hit the phones, et cetera, et cetera. It's dermatology today. 800-348-2551. Marion writes in, I have several annoying skin tags, which my dermatologist didn't want to remove, saying that I could remove them myself. No instructions or guidelines were provided. Is there a good over-the-counter product I could safely use, or should I find a dermatologist who would remove them for me?
So that's a good question. This comes up a lot. So generally speaking, most insurance companies will not cover the removal of them.
So what's a skin tag again?
It's like a little, think of it as a little redundancy of the top layer of skin with some like fibrous tissue in the middle.
So it looks like a what, a wart or a piece of
It's a little softer. It's pedunculated, cement. Which means it's narrow at where it attaches to the skin, and then it bubbles out, almost like a little water balloon.
Oh. Snip it off with the scissors,
Yes. So depending on how wide the base is, if it's not wide at all, a lot of people just snip them off or do the dental floss trick where you tie it off.
Yikes.
And eventually it just stops any blood flow to it and just necroses off. But they also do sell an over-the-counter product called, it's a liquid nitrogen like kind of analog. So it's not exactly what I have in the office, which is extremely cold. It's a less cold version of that. But that works too.
But it's not really liquid nitrogen.
I actually don't know what it is, but it's a less cold version of it.
When I was a little kid, I remember it. I still have, I don't have nightmares about it. But went to the pediatrician, and, oh, you got a wart. Okay. Yeah. And then he brought out a thermos that was steaming like it was on the Munsters or something.
Yep.
And it hurt.
It does hurt. It's so cold. I mean, the skin doesn't know what to do with that temperature. The nerves don't. So it just, it's like a burning feeling, stinging feeling. And then there's a thawing process where it throbs.
But you can't buy that over there because, I mean, that would be dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. We have to be pretty careful with it ourselves.
All right. This one's from E. Please discuss seborrheic keratosis scabs that emerge on forearms and then heal.
So seborrheic keratoses are like my best friends. I see them all day, every day. I mean,
you're easily amused.
I wouldn't have a job if it weren't for them.
Okay.
They are extremely common, really common. All individuals make them. I've almost never seen a body over 50 that doesn't have at
what
least one.
What does it
one.
Look like?
Well, that's a good question. One of the reasons they're so fantastic is they're very elusive. They can look like anything. So they're basically little brownish, often brownish, could be tan, could be white, could be pink. Kind of growths. We joke they're kind of like a barnacle because they just sort of sit right on top of the skin. They're often a little bit rough.
Isn't that a skin tag? Aren't you describing that?
No, the skin tags were softer and elongated.
Ah, okay.
Little redundancies of skin. These are like, they feel like a scab.
Okay.
They're a little rough. They can be quite thick or almost flush with the skin.
Yeah.
And they come up just from age. So that's the thing. People always say, but I hate them. How can I get rid of them? And the bottom line is that they're just going to keep coming up. We do spray them off with liquid nitrogen. Sometimes if people are really motivated to get them off, big ones, because they can be 3 centimeters, 4
really?
Centimeters. Yeah, they can be massive.
But they don't do any harm?
Not at all. They're harmless as can be.
Interesting. And then what's with the age spots? What are those?
So a lot of people consider these keratoses, age spots, which they are, I guess.
Okay.
The ones that are really flat, like we often see them on the backs of our hands.
Yeah, I got them on my head.
Or on your...
Right here. See those?
Exhibit A.
Okay.
Ray's left temple.
Well, you know.
Those are more like sunspots, honestly.
Yeah.
And they're just like little brown flat spots. They're just pigment from chronic sun.
Okay, so
not dangerous.
They're okay?
Yep, not dangerous.
All right, Dr. Alexis Perlmutter's our guest. It's Dermatology Today, 800-348-2551. Tell you what, Zach, since we're loading the phones up at this point, let's go to a break early, and then we'll go to the phones. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Yes, guys and dolls, there's Terry Snyder here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. That's some snappy music right there. Dr. Alexis Perlmutter's our guest, and let's go to the phones. We'll start in Albany. It's Kristen. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, love the show.
Thanks.
I have very dry skin. It's chronic. I've had it actually for a few years, and it's especially on my scalp. I actually tried a round of ketoconazole because years ago I had a fungal infection on my scalp. So I'm like, let me just try this. My doctor prescribed it for me. Didn't work. And I do have sun damage. I have that. Well, you said that actinic keratosis is more from age, but I have the brown spots. I've had a basal and a squamous cell carcinoma. And I was told to use retinol on my face to keep the sun damage at bay. I moisturize after showers regularly. Maybe that takes the edge off a little bit, but not much. My primary doctor also suggested that some of my medications that I'm on a significant number of medications, some of them might be drying. So I did cut back, particularly on my antihistamine, or it's Zyrtec I take for allergies. And I lowered the dosage on a number of my medications with my doctors. That may have actually helped a little bit, but I'm still really itchy. Sometimes it just really drives me crazy. And I was wondering if you might have any suggestions. I'm actually, you know, playing doctor myself. And I'm like, the last two tests I had, my GFR lab tests I had, my serum GFR, my kidney filtering rate or something was kind of borderline. So my doctor's watching that for me. I was wondering if that might have something to do with it.
So yeah,
just wondering what your thoughts might be.
Sure. It's a very good question. Right now, you know, there's a lot of people who are dry and itchy from the dryness. So I think the most important thing you said, I think, is that you are dry. So usually if someone is dry, the itch is most likely associated with that. I will just make a comment about the kidney thing, is that when someone has a lot of kidney damage and kidney failure, so more like third and fourth degree kidney failure, that can generate a very kind of intractable itch that is not associated at all with dry skin.
Interesting.
So for sure, itch, or we call it the fancy word for that is pruritus, does trigger a doctor, especially a dermatologist, we deal with this question a lot, to look for an internal cause. But itch in the setting of dryness, where you said, yeah, I also know my skin's really dry, it's probably related to the dryness. So a couple tips I everyone can probably learn from is in the winter, Ray and I already talked about this a little bit.
Don't bathe.
You don't need to. Yeah, don't bathe at all. you don't want to misattribute being dehydrated to being dry. So drinking extra water won't really help. And Kristen, you already mentioned that you're putting on lotion. When you are in the shower, less time in the water is better. No loofahs or washcloths, because those will actually rough up the skin. Minimal soap. So, you know, everyone soaps up in the shower, but use a very neutral soap on only the necessary areas. So I wouldn't, you know, you don't make yourself, if you guys have kids at home, sort of suds them up like a snowman. We used to joke about that when we were little. So you don't want to do that to your own skin. That's really, really,
really?
Drying to skin. Yeah.
Huh.
And then, you know, lotions are fine. I don't think we've touched upon this yet, Ray, in our time here. But
no.
There are lotions, creams, ointments, gels. There's all different formulations. And lotions are the most runny. They have the most water in them. So they're really the worst for hydration.
Okay.
Interesting.
The thicker you go,
the better.
The most water
is the worst for hydration.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So oils and ointments, so greasy stuff, is the best. Lots of people don't want to put that on their skin. But truly, the thicker you go, so the more you kind of dabble with balms or ointments or oils, and that could be mineral oil, olive oil. The dermatologists all love Vaseline, just petroleum jelly. The more you can put that on the skin right after it has been wet, so after a bath or shower, you will be amazed with how much it'll hydrate the skin.
Wow.
But you just have to do it.
Okay.
You wake up the next day and you have to do it again, though. That's the only tricky part, you know. Our air here and our weather really gets to us.
Kristen, thanks a lot for the call. So this is interesting. I mean, Vaseline's been around forever. And you have all these newfangled, I alluded to some of them earlier on the late night TV, this will do this and that and make you youthful. Vaseline, this ancient thing, is still accepted and recommended by people like you.
Yes. Oh, it's It's sort of a joke amongst derms. With all the fancy products out there, we say, just get some Vaseline.
Well, that's so fun. Aquaphor. I mean, you have kids, so it's like, with the diapers, you always had Aquaphor. Yep. I said, why is it more expensive than Vaseline?
So Aquaphor is great. It's a little thicker.
Yeah.
It's part petroleum jelly, and then they have lanolin in Aquaphor.
Ah.
So it makes it much thicker.
Yeah.
But some people are allergic to lanolin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to be a little more careful. But to your point, right, it is much thicker. So if you can tolerate Aquaphor, it's way better for dry skin.
You know, every time we get a sunburn, it's always, get the aloe. What does aloe do? Is it not good?
No. I'm making a face because I don't know. It definitely has some anti-inflammatory properties, but this happened last time on the show.
Did I ask it last time?
No, you asked about tea. Someone asked about tea tree.
Oh.
It's just that it's one of those things that for sure it has some kind of a property that's nice on skin. I'd say it's an anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. It's a natural property of the plant.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Alexis Perlmutter, dermatology today on the program. The practice, I can't believe it. Now, you've been on prior to you starting your practice. It's been 7 months since you've opened.
Yep.
How's it working out?
It's great.
We're busy.
Yep. There's one other provider there with me, and we're having a great time. It's really fun.
Got to be honest. There are not a lot of dermatologists in the area, so you must be booked to like 2028.
Well, we're still, because we're new, I think it's this golden opportunity because we actually have some openings.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Around here, you wait sometimes a year or so.
Can you do something about these eye bags? No, let's
We've
go
already
back.
Talked
let's
about
go back
that. No.
Chris in Newburgh. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Since August, my wife and I have been having an itch on our lower extremities. It's typically worse at night. Sometimes there's bumps, sometimes there's not. And then we've been kind of just chalking up to like stress hives or something. But then our 8-year-old daughter actually started developing bumps and itch the other day. So we were going to go and try to see a dermatologist, and I heard you were on, so I figured I'd call.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good question. And with itch or things that look like, you know, bug bites or bumps or rashes, often it's the geography that's really important to a dermatologist in assessing what it could be. So if you pose this question on a standardized test, most derms would probably answer something like we should look for fleas because they tend to live in carpets and they jump up only as high as the legs. I'm also thinking about the time
of
year.
We've had those before. I don't think that this is it. Usually I would have seen a flea by now.
Okay. Oh, so you've actually seen them jump on you before.
Ouch.
Yeah, not recently, not within the last 6 months, but I have had that happen
okay.
in the past.
Yeah, so I would definitely probably see someone then. The actual, bump itself, the lesion itself, whether it's a hive or a bug bite, that would be helpful in figuring out what's making you itchy. There are some people that get this recurrent bite reaction. So even if you had flea bites like 6 months ago, it's called papular urticaria. And it just means like your body is still reacting to those flea bites from 6 months ago.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Urticaria means hive. So it's basically like a recurrent bite reaction, even though there's no bites anymore. So I would definitely advise you to see somebody. And if you have photos, bring those in as well. So that's very helpful to us.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Alexis Perlmutter is our guest. So there must be a fine line when you see a patient between, you got to go see an allergist, or I have you on this. There are so many disciplines mm-hmm. in the medical profession that sort of, mm-hmm. there's a gray area, a
Absolutely.
Shadow area. For instance, you see a lot of people, like eczema is something you would do, right?
Mm-hmm, that's, definitely.
But is that autoimmune?
That's a great question. So it's when we say autoimmune, we usually want to, in medicine, you usually want to know the actual protein, the antibody that's attacking the organ, and then you call it autoimmune. A good example of that is vitiligo. We sort of know that the melanocytes in the skin, the color cells, are being attacked in that disease. Just like in type 1 diabetes, we know the pancreatic islet cells are being attacked. So with eczema, there's not an actual autoimmune attack on the body, but it is an inflammatory condition. So we say that when it's just sort of a little more nebulous. It's not as direct as this protein is attacking that cell. But yeah, it's definitely inflammatory.
But some people who have eczema, if they say they're using laundry detergent that has heavy perfumes, mm-hmm. and then they go to an allergy-free, mm-hmm. sometimes it gets better.
Absolutely. So with people with eczema, you know, you think it's a really common condition where under a microscope, you kind of picture that, you know, this is not what it really looks like. A picture it like a dilapidated brick wall. So like all the cement that's holding the bricks together is not quite there in eczema. So in that setting, if you add something irritating, like a detergent that's irritating to skin, it exacerbates the eczema. So people with eczema often get a secondary allergic contact eczema.
Interesting.
So their skin is way more sensitive than yours or mine might be.
Dr. Alexis Perlmutter joins us today. This email from Wendy. Do you recommend any of the light therapies? Wendy says, my husband is a transplant patient and he needs to be in Coumadin. I'm not sure what that means. Will red light therapy help his thin skin get thicker?
So I'm extrapolating a little bit, but my guess is that you're asking about the thin skin that you see as a result of Coumadin, bruising the arms and the shins. So the answer is no. I mean, there are definitely a lot of things in dermatology where light therapy can be helpful.
How does it work?
So there's different kinds, lots of different kinds. There's UVB, which is the most common used today, a narrowband UVB. So there's lights that have been developed that are a single wavelength, and the UVB light is 311 nanometers, and it's an anti-inflammatory wavelength. So it penetrates the skin just enough to sort of shoo away the inflammation of psoriasis, eczema. We talked about itch before.
Yeah.
People that are chronically itchy often do better in a light box.
So interesting.
They're just less itchy.
So UVB, yeah. Now there are all these different UVs, and many of them are sunblock, will get rid of it, but UVB is a good one?
Well, they all still create free radicals damage to the genetic, to our cells, I mean, and long-term genetic damage. But when you just have a single wave like that, it's a little more controlled. Like the opposite of that is a tanning booth where it's sort of unregulated, lots of different wavelengths of light. So there's still risk when you use medical UVB, for sure.
Okay.
So patients that are on chronic UVB therapy, we do skin checks on them more frequently to make sure they're not growing a skin cancer.
Dermatology today on this edition of Medical Monday. Number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Charlemont. It's Melissa. Hey, Melissa, can you clear something up for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Charlemont like Charlie or Charlemont like Charlene?
Charlemont.
Ch. Okay, I'm with you there. I'll do it right.
But if you're not from Charlemont, it's okay if you want to say it the French way, because it was technically Charlemont.
Uh-huh. C'est bon. All right, do you have a question?
We say Charlemont.
All right, I'm with you 100%. Let's do it the American way. All right, Melissa, Dr. Okay. Alexis Perlmutter is at your service. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. I love Medical Monday, and I've listened to you, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago. I did not get a chance to call in, so I have a question today about checking for skin cancer, and I'm fair-skinned. I have a lot of moles, but I'm not sure, like, when is it important to have a mole checked out? I have one on my arm, for instance, that showed up a couple years ago, and it started out as kind of like a pimple, and now it's like hard and bumpy, but it's also right next to another mole that is not, and I'm not sure if that's, I don't know. I don't know what to look for.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things that has a little to do with age, just because, you know, kids developmentally up to about age 25, 30, they're in the stage where they're supposed to grow moles. That's when they come out. So you sound, it's hard to say, but you sound a little older than that. I can't really tell. But mostly when you're an adult.
I'm 38.
Okay, sorry, 38. I didn't ask.
You're a baby still.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a good time to get your skin checked. So at that age, you know, you really shouldn't have spots that are changing. Specifically, you shouldn't have moles that are changing.
Okay.
I can't tell from your description if what that pink thing that changed is a mole, but certainly moles can be pink. And we say mid-30s is sort of when you should be able to screenshot, you know, take a photo of your skin, and your moles should never change after that. If they do, that's a sign that they could be, you know, acting in a mischievous way, a.k.a. towards a cancer.
Ouch. Melissa, you want to follow up?
Yeah, so if it is has changed and it's like just kind of lumpy, I just have my primary look at it, because like you were saying, it's really hard to get into a dermatologist quickly.
Yeah, that's a very good start. So Ray and I talked a moment earlier about seborrheic keratoses. They're super common. And at 38, you may have just grown one of those, and that's mimicking a changing mole, you know, and that's okay. Similarly, I actually think what you're describing sounds like a dermatofibroma, which is harmless as well. It's like a bump on the arm that turns hard from trauma to the skin. So it could be nothing, and that could be the kind of thing that your primary looks at and goes, oh, I know what this is. This is nothing. So it could save you a anxious year-long wait for the dermatologist.
Yes, I've waited way too long to have it looked at anyway, so I will do that. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. Good luck.
You know, Dr. Perlmutter, you're so reassuring. I'm so relaxed about so many things that I have going wrong. It's great. This email from Christine, who says she's a satisfied member of WAMC. Subtext, don't screw this one up, Dr. Perlmutter. So we're talking about the oil on the skin. And she says, doesn't it mess up our clothing? Anything we touch? Won't we feel greasy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now that was, I don't know if that's the right answer.
It takes a little bit of, I don't know, nuance and kind of sitting with this greasy skin after you do what I recommended earlier, but it does soak in and you will feel like a new person the next morning.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you do this or you just tell people to do it?
It's pretty gross, but sometimes in the dead of winter, if my arms are really dry, I'll do this at night. And then it's like you wake up and you feel like the way you did when you were just a child.
No
way. Normal skin.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll believe you. All right. Let's go back to the phones now. 800-348-2551. Oh, let's go to Matamoras, Pennsylvania. It's Jim. You're on.
Do chronic bacterial and viral skin infections sometimes morph into tumors? And going back to somebody else's question there, in veterinary medicine, there's a cryogen in a can called Veruca Freeze. It's a combination of two chemicals that mix as they come out of the can. And that's supposed to last indefinitely in the can if you don't use it.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to your question.
So there aren't that many chronic bacterial infections that I can think of on the skin. Most of those either get worse and the patient gets sick, or there are one or two, but I think I'll take the virus as an example. So like a chronic viral wart, it's exquisitely uncommon. There's a scenario where there's something called a verrucous carcinoma, which is a wart that's turned into a form of like a squamous cell carcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really, really uncommon.
All right, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Everything
You're
will
welcome.
Be fine. 800-348-2551 is the number. Now, I don't know if it was Melissa's call or somebody else's call, but she mentioned taking, I don't know if it was Benadryl or some allergy medicine. Will that dry the skin out?
I honestly doubt it. It does help with itch a little bit.
Right.
And it will dry your mucous membranes out. So people often wake up after an antihistamine, like a Benadryl, they wake up with a dry mouth. But it doesn't really dry the skin out.
All right, let me ask you one more question, and this is another one of my brilliant questions. All right, when you go to, you know, I'm sure you had a Thanksgiving, or if you're at a family gathering, and the more corpulent family members tend to look younger, but the skinnier ones tend to look like they're 112. What's the deal?
Okay, so here the bad news is that as we age, collagen, which is what makes our skin look plump, naturally degrades.
Right. But what if you stay fat?
Then the collagen may degrade, but because you have more fat underneath the skin, it will still look full.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not collagen, but it is.
Let me ask you another question. Are you regretting being on the show?
Yeah, just a little bit.
All right, fine. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Alexis Perlmutter today, dermatology on this edition of Medical Monday. We'll be back after a little T-Bone Walker. Love that T-Bone Walker, yeah? It's Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. That's the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Perlmutter decided to stick it out for the end of the show, even though, you know, some of the questions can be a bit much. All right, so here we go. Some emails. Catherine in Niskayuna. I can't put any type of neck cream at all on my neck to tighten it up because I get broken out in bumps and rash and eventually skin tags. What do you suggest to use? Obviously, my skin's very sensitive. Only thing I could ever use was Eucerin cream on my arms and legs. And that's from Catherine in Niskayuna.
That's a good question, because a lot of people, if they're sensitive to different chemicals that are in creams, the neck is a very sensitive area. So they'll often see it first there or on the eyelids.
Yeah.
It's a very thin skin. So you know what I'm going to say?
No, go ahead.
Vaseline.
Go Vaseline.
So it's all about lubricating the skin there, and you need to find something through trial and error that you'll tolerate. Ultimately, if there's so much sag that creams don't make a difference, one can do a lift or.
You know, that's another thing that is going on in Western society today. The preponderance of snake oil. I don't know if it's, maybe it all works. Oh, it's going to make your neck look great again.
I think this is like an age old issue, is that there's always been people, I mean, you know, human beings, humankind, they've always sought out beauty and looking younger and reclaiming
the
fountain
of
youth. Yeah.
There's
a lot of it that just, it doesn't do that much.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. I mean, this question that you asked, one of the best things we have that's prescription or over the counter is something for tightening up and making the skin look younger, which is, you know, it's shown to work. It's irritating. So it's the retinol, tretinoin. And I would have recommended that to that email we just read, but that can be very irritating.
But it does work.
It does work, though. It bulks up the collagen just a little bit, makes you look a little younger, tightens up the skin a bit.
What's wrong with people? Why can't they just accept themselves for what they are?
I'm telling you, it's human nature.
I don't know. I don't like it. This is from Mike. A lot of times, I'm 72 years old. Wait a minute, hold it. My name is Mike a lot of times. All right, fair enough. I'm 72 years old, long time to get. All right, there are no paragraphs. There are no punctuations here. Get your decoder ring out. We're going to give it a shot. Hello, my name is Mike a lot of times. I'm 72 years old, long time to get. I end up with these white spots on my face. Sometimes they go away. Sometimes they say they grow a little bit, and I don't know what they are. They're almost like those brown spots you're talking about before, but it's disconcerting because they don't look nice. Not a pimple, but just like a collection of something, and it's usually very hard, and there's nothing in it except this white spot. Anyway, I'd like to know what it is.
Those could be milia. I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay.
Milia are like little firm dots that are usually round and kind of dome-shaped, and they sit really anywhere on the skin. They come with really just being around. I mean, kids get them, adults get them. It's not a sign of age. They're tiny cysts.
Ah.
So they're firm because they have a little bit of dead skin in them. Harmless as can be.
Okay. Doreen says, just wanted to share that I used to struggle with dry skin every fall and winter, but discovered that not only do shorter showers help, but almond oil with vitamin E applied all over right after a shower has pretty much eliminated that problem. I get them at the health food store.
Yeah, love it.
What does vitamin E do? Do you know?
Yeah, it's tocopherol is the fancy name for vitamin E. In our world, I don't know when it's taken as like a vitamin. I don't know what it does. But in our world, for the skin, it's a really nice, it sort of lubricates but also helps replicate on the skin. So
yeah.
It's good for scar treatments.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, one more email and then we'll go back to the phones. Now, BRCA1, is that pronounced BRCA or is that something else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doctor, I've been diagnosed with BRCA1 genetic mutation recently. This is from Barb. How often should I be screened by a dermatologist? How common is skin cancer with a BRCA1 diagnosis?
So it's one of those things that it does increase your risk of melanoma, but after you go to your first skin screening, you'll get a better sense of your overall risk, because that's not the only thing that increases your risk or sets risk for melanoma. There's, you know, redheads have a higher risk of melanoma. Having more than 50 moles on your skin, just right there, risk of melanoma. First degree family relative with a melanoma puts you at risk. So there's lots of different criteria that set risk for melanoma. And that's why the first step would just be to go in and get an overall skin check.
You know, I find it interesting that the 50 moles, okay? Moles in general they're okay, right?
Yep.
But if you go over 50, then, so what does that tell us about cancer and skin cancer?
Yep. So it's an arbitrary cutoff because it was a study that was done.
Right. You know,
so that's how they had to choose a number, and that was in the group of people who had more than 50 moles, the melanoma risk was higher. It probably speaks to the fact that people that have that many moles have more melanocytes in their body, and they are more likely that one of those melanocytes is going to go awry. The melanocytes are just the mole cells, you know, the cells that make up a mole.
Right.
So it probably just has to do with likelihood.
All right, let's go back to the phones with Dr. Alexis Perlmutter of Perlmutter Dermatology, and we will go to Pine Bush and Amanda. Amanda, you're on.
Hi, thank you guys so much for taking my call.
You bet.
And I actually had a question. I heard, Doctor, you mentioned milia earlier for a phone call, just being like a white hard bump under the surface of dead cells. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay, so my question was, my son, who is 12 years old, has lots of tiny bumps on his upper arms, on his thighs, and I didn't know if that was keratinosis planaris. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, if there was a difference between the two, and if so, what is it more likely, you know, going to be, and is there anything I can help him with dietary-wise? You know, we try and cut out any kind of dyes. It doesn't seem to bother him. It's just the physical appearance of it. And that it's very rough to the touch. So I was wondering if there was anything that I could do to help, or if it's a condition he may have to outgrow. I know that I seem to have it more as a child and thankfully seem to have outgrown it.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. So you almost got it right. There's a lot of Latin in dermatology. It's keratosis pilaris.
And I took Latin, unfortunately.
Oh,
my
no!
Latin teacher's very disappointed.
That's why you said it so well. keratosis pilaris. So it's basically a genetic condition. And when I see patients in the office, I make sure I don't call it a rash, because it's not a rash. It's just that their skin doesn't exfoliate off like someone else's might in those locations. So back of the arms, upper thighs, and then the very lateral cheeks over by the ears on both sides. Usually those are the hot
spot
areas.
Those are all of the locations. You hit it all on the head. So that sounds right. An exfoliator, perhaps, like a deep loofah, would that be something so we could kind of manually exfoliate? Would that help move the process along for him? Or it's not enough to really undo a genetic, you know, unfortunateness of
I think
it?
The latter is true, but people don't usually give up that easily, right? So they'll say, well, what can I do? What can I do? So often you have to think of it as not only bumpy skin, but sensitive skin. So that's the other hard part about KP. That's what we'll call it for short, is that if you go to exfoliate it, much easier, then you often make it redder. And so the big question is, if you don't mind the way it looks, but you don't like the way it feels, sure, try exfoliating. You might like it better. There's something over the counter called Lacthydrin or Amlactin, which helps exfoliate.
Amlactin.
Yep.
Okay.
But you may find that if he uses that.
And I should maybe check for sensitivity first and then proceed as long as he doesn't seem to have a reaction to it. Would that be the best?
Yeah, I would use it for a day or two on one arm or one thigh and just see how he does with it. Because it ends up, unfortunately, making a lot of people irritated.
Amanda, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Alexis Perlmutter joins us today. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll go to Sally in Saratoga. Hello, Sally.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi. Good. Yes, I'm very happy to talk to you people because listening to the program is very good.
Well, thank
my
you.
Dilemma is I have these lines under my lower lip and between my lower lip and my chin. And if I smile, they go away. So I find myself smiling all the time just so the lines don't show.
That's good.
And then at night they go away. You know, somehow my face fills out at night. And I wondered, does the collagen with vitamin C supplements help that? And what else could the fine doctor recommend to get rid of these damn lines?
The fact that they're dynamic, meaning they come and go, makes me think they're wrinkles. Do you think they're wrinkles?
Yeah, but I want to find something. I've tried line fillers, and nothing seems to work. Once upon a time, I got some shots that filled it up, but they don't last very long. So is there any over-the-counter product or something that I could use to smooth out these wrinkles during the day?
Probably
so I don't
not.
Have to smile all the time.
Yeah, honestly, probably.
Oh, okay.
But although, you know, things like there's newer fillers now. There's some very thin fillers that will fill a thin line, like one around the lip. But you're right. They eventually wear out and you got to do them again. But taking collagen will not help. Using collagen on the surface of your skin will not help.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Sally.
Well, thank you.
Keep smiling, my friend. 800-348-2551. Dr. Alexis Perlmutter joins us today. It's dermatology on the show. Hopewell Junction is the place and Jane is the poison. Jane, hello.
Hello. Hello, folks. Thank you so much for the program. My question, I had a twin brother who passed of melanoma between the shoulder blades. There was the beauty mark, and it had already metastasized. It was before our 33rd birthday. What I'd like to know, doctor, is has science advanced where they can catch this kind of thing and help younger people where it seems to develop more rapidly?
Yes. I mean, when one of my mentors, when I was a trainee, which I think was really wise, he said this. He said, you know, melanoma is not one disease. It's multiple diseases. Because what I think we've learned is that there are some melanomas that are exquisitely aggressive, right? Maybe in your brother's case, they just take off and, you know, within 6 months, they're already throughout the body. Whereas there's other melanomas that might sit there for many, many years. So genetically speaking, we've learned so much about melanomas, and the care has basically become kind of like a lot of other cancers, where it's becoming more tailored to the genetic mutations in that cancer so that you can address what is the problem with this melanoma on this person this time type thing. So even if someone makes two separate melanomas, let's say, they may not make the same type of melanoma each time. So the short answer is absolutely. So there's been so much progress in the treatment of melanoma. Really, that's in the surgical oncology world, or the cutaneous oncology world. It's not even things that I would treat patients with. It's truly oncology, oncologic medicines and different treatments that have really come a long way since,
you know,
years ago.
I appreciate this. I'll just add to the information, and that is that anxious to get rid of it, he may not have understood, and he went under the knife, and they found that it had metastasized into the lymph system, but they cut so much of him away. And then after that, he developed tumor after tumor after tumor.
Oh, boy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So for most cases, though, you really have to get tissue. So you have to cut out at least some of it to do the study where you figure out what kind of cancer it is and how aggressive it might be. So cutting out at least part of the cancer is still part of the bread and butter treatment for melanoma. It sounds like he had a pretty bad run with it. I'm sorry.
Jane, thanks for the call. This email from Michael in Rhinebeck. I have rosy cheeks like my father. I was told I have rosacea. What do you recommend for this condition?
So rosacea is pretty common. We all sort of know what it looks like, although, you know, you say,
Santa
I think
Claus.
I know some. Yeah, exactly. Rosy cheeks. Rosacea is at least that, like a flushing or a pink to the cheeks. Sometimes it also comes along with pimples.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so adult acne. And then other times rosacea goes to the eyes, ocular rosacea, and you get flaking and itching and dryness. So it's actually a pretty interesting disease.
Right.
When it's, I say just, when it's quote-unquote just your cheeks feeling pink, there are some over-the-counter creams prescription creams that can help. Admittedly, we don't do that well treating the flushing or the pink of rosacea. Sometimes we actually have patients see someone with a laser, and they'll do laser on the red little blood vessels that are actually under the skin, and that's a great treatment. So
they're ablating all those, so
exactly,
there's no more blood.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Just superficially.
Oh, so cool. All right, let's go to Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Eileen, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I'm 65 years old, and I have had for probably the past 20, 25 years gone to dermatologists. I've had full body checks and all that, had some biopsies, all negative. But I do have on my face a pre-carcinogenous thing that they've always frozen off. The last time I went to a new dermatologist just this summer, and they recommended doing this blue light treatment, which really worked. I looked terrible for the first week after, but once it healed, all the red blotches were gone, the dry patches that previously they froze off. And I'm just wondering if, and they did suggest that I do this again this coming spring, just one more treatment to get anything that was left behind. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that. I just heard you talking about UVB lights, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering, is this blue light, is that sanctioned? Is that a good thing?
Yep. So it's a really good treatment. We call it photodynamic therapy. And usually there's a new approved red light, which is similar, but until now, really, this the bread and butter treatment when you go to use light for precancerous lesions, we've always pretty much used blue light. And we use it in conjunction with a medicine called levulinic acid, and that's a photosensitizer. Yeah. So basically, you paint it on the face and then give it about an hour or two to incubate. And then the genetically damaged skin is especially sensitive to that blue light. And so when you go under the light for the 17 minutes or whatever you've just done, it kills those bad cells.
Amazing.
It's very cool. It can be, as you mentioned, Eileen, it can be pretty intense, the aftermath, for about 3 to 5 days.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But it's great. It works. Yeah. And it's FDA approved. Absolutely. It's usually covered by insurance. Often patients do two treatments just to get all the, you said, to get a little bit more.
That's what they recommended.
Yeah,
so.
that's a great treatment.
Well, thank you, Eileen. Okay. Appreciate the call. You know, the sun is, as I understand it, pretty much a full spectrum light. Mm-hmm. If you put that paste or whatever it is on your face, won't there be enough blue light built into the sun that you'll be okay?
A great question, right? So in Europe, I think this is very interesting. It speaks to the different cultures. But in Europe, what they do is they do natural light therapy. So they use the same medication, that levulinic acid, in dermatology offices in Europe. They paint their patients, and then they say, you got to walk around for a couple days.
Yeah.
So they don't actually buy or use the light in their office. They just say, go outside now for a couple days. Walk around for 2 hours today and 2 hours tomorrow.
That cuts down on overhead in the office. Yeah, nicely done. All right, one more. We only have about 40 seconds for Judy in Worthington. Judy, you got to make it very quick, okay?
Okay, I'll try. I have eruptions of little bumps full of fluid all over my body. Some of them are tiny, some of them are up to a quarter inch in diameter and full with fluid. And I was wondering if you had any idea what causes it.
Okay.
It's hard to
I'm a Parkinson's sufferer.
Okay.
I've got, I take Sinemet and Lisinopril and several other medications, and I was wondering if it was the medication.
Okay, well, about 20 seconds, Doc.
That's hard to say because there are some things that are super common, like folliculitis or little pimple type things. There's other things that are way more complex, like bullous pemphigoid, that can give you little blisters on
again?
The skin. Bullous pemphigoid. Oh, so God. Honestly, I would recommend seeing a doctor for it so that maybe one can be sampled or a culture can be taken from the fluid to see what's going on.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, Judy. I'm so sorry. All right, Dr. Alexis Perlmutter, how do people find you at Perlmutter Dermatology?
You can call us, 518-655-1990, or
you
can go to our website.
Your number?
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
We have a website, perlmutterdermatology.com.
All right, and we have the link on our page for today's show. Well done. Thank you for being here. And I wish I could remember that word you said, bullous?
Pemphigoid.
Very good. You sound like Jerry Lewis. Pemphigoid. All right, well, thanks for being here. Support comes from Stinging Nettle Apothecary, Main Street, Catskill, New York, offering handcrafted organic herb-based products, incorporating natural herbal remedies into daily life. StingingNettleNY.com. Thanks again to Dr. Alexis Perlmutter of Perlmutter Dermatology for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the great Bob Rathbun, who screened the calls. Well done, sir. Zachary T. Malloy is our engineer over there in Master Control. Thank you, sir. Tomorrow, oh my gosh, we've done the skin thing. Now tomorrow we'll do the bird thing. Julie Hart and Rich Guthrie will be here. We'll see you at 2 p.m.